101.7 FM. This is the Tap In with Jazz Tyler. I am your favorite producer, Meech. Got a couple fill-ins with me for a second. Ray Nitty.
What's happening?
And Manon decided to stay back for a minute, chop it up with us, have a couple conversations. How y'all doing, man?
Man, doing good, man.
Tapped in, baby.
Yeah, let's tap in.
Tap in.
Get well, Jazz, too. Get well, Jazz. You
get well, Jazz.
Yeah,
we got you. It's Wednesday, usually hump day. Y'all doing any, you know, humping?
Not yet.
Look, we're not out of here.
But
you know, that's it. All good. We talking vibes today. Let's set the vibe off right, Nitty. What's up?
Man, what's popping with you, man? It's my daughter's birthday today, bro.
Happy birthday to her.
She's 20 years old.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're getting old?
Yeah, absolutely. Before I had a 20-year-old, I was fit. Chill out, Zach. Don't start.
Hey, this show gonna be crazy.
We're 2 minutes
today.
In, Zach. Chill out.
2 minutes, yeah. You already clowning.
But yeah, bro, I've been feeling it for a while, bro. Keeping it 100.
Yes. Old vibes.
Yeah.
We're talking
old
vibes.
Old
today,
vibes,
so that's
man.
Old vibes.
Bones just ache.
Yeah.
You know, you can sit down and just feel like a pain behind your knee.
You feel the pain.
Like, yeah, dang, I got a 20-year-old.
As you get older, I feel like I don't be wanting to get up sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the toughest thing to do as you get older is go to sleep.
Yeah, that's true.
Not for me. I'm knocked, bro.
ASAP. There's some days I got trouble.
For real?
Yeah, I got trouble, man. Like, the older you get, I'm 47, man. It's some days I'm like, oh, I got to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Some days I want to stay up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know, a lot of times you miss them days where you know, you can stay up. You gotta go to sleep because you gotta get up the next day and work. So you try to force yourself to stay up.
Yeah. So how you feel when you get up? Like you said, your bones be cracking.
Man, so
crackulating.
I know. I still be feeling somewhat tired, bro, when I wake up. But I also know that's because I need to change my lifestyle to a healthier lifestyle. Get back working out, back eating right, stuff like that. Especially as you get older, bro.
Yeah.
You know, them body parts don't function and process the way they used to. Your liver slow down. That works fine. Chill out. Chill out, Zach. I'm not doing this today. This is a show about kids and youth.
Kids, we're talking old vibes. We letting them know.
We talking about bones. You know, muscle aches.
But at what age?
We got no deficiencies.
At what age do y'all feel like
real bad man?
At what age did y'all start feeling the effects?
30,
40.
Felt like as soon as I turned 30.
Yeah.
Phantom aches.
But you was pretty active, though.
I was active, but I was 40, like literally that year.
Yeah?
Yeah, man, I rolled out the bed, an instant backache.
I think probably I was like 34. I got the feeling like, oh, my God, yeah, like backaches.
Yeah.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, when you bend down and catch a spasm.
Yeah. Back be on fire, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, you ever like walk and then like stumble to get the stumble?
Yeah.
Yeah, the knees kind of give out. Yeah.
Just going up the stairs sometimes.
Going up the stairs, man. Oh, like that instant stop? The pause on the stair?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't never just stood up and then, like, had to sit back down? Like, damn! You know what? I ain't fun going.
Yeah, Truth Nation, how y'all doing? 833-212-1017. We talking old vibes. Old vibes.
Old vibes, yeah. I'm 40, being 47, almost 50, man. Yeah, you definitely feel it. Definitely feel the old vibes, man. Yeah.
So what y'all do to stay limber in a sense?
What?
is that what you do to stay
like active?
I mean, I'm not doing what I should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, but I'd like to start waking up and going back to the gym. For a while, I was going to the gym like at 5 in the morning. You know, and putting like 2.5 hours in, and then life speed up, and you get out of routine. Mm-hmm. Then it'd be hard to get.
It'd be
back.
That one day you just stay. Yep. Oh, you just stay asleep till 6:30. You're like, you know what? I go tomorrow.
That felt so good. Yeah. I got to do it again.
Yeah,
that recovery.
Yeah, yeah. I think what I'm doing now is, man, I got this 6-year-old that's always just in my ear, man.
Yeah,
he's always running and playgrounds and stuff, so yeah, you can't miss.
Yeah, my sons decided to keep me active.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, you know, I'm chilling. I'll go sit on the couch. They like, no, nah, we You going outside with us.
Yeah.
So gotta stay active.
Run
with
around.
Them. Yeah. Again, yeah. It's like, you know, they 10, 6. So mm-hmm. I get to thinking like, okay, I gotta stay. I gotta be able to race them.
Yeah.
At that age.
Yeah.
You know, I might lose. Mm-hmm. I gotta be able to race them though. Like, man, at least I'm out there and try.
I'm a park bench daddy though, man. Like, I'm the daddy that like go, as long as she can climb the monkey bars. Yeah. She, you know, because you know how you have to hold the baby up, do the monkey bars. She can do the monkey bars. I'm straight. I go sit on the park bench. I said, man, listen, I get it right on my phone.
I still be racing them. I ain't raced my kids in a while. They still not faster than me, but right now. It might be over with.
It's over.
I be so nervous about just like tearing an Achilles or ACL or something, bro.
I tore mine.
You see what I'm saying? And that's here what I am. Saying. I don't even know that? Karate like Manon.
How would you did that? Because I be scared to play basketball.
Listen, I was 40, too.
See, everything happened when he was 40. So yeah. I'm 39.
See? Duh. Yeah, bro.
So, I mean, I quit being.
I'm 42, so I ain't lost an Achilles yet. So, you got some time. You straight.
Okay, you 28-year-old Zach back there.
Right. Acting like he ain't 2 for 30. He going to be feeling these pains in 2 years.
Yeah, we trying to let
right.
you know, man. Zach, this is how I feel.
I'm going to be doing that yoga or whatever it was called. So I'm going to try to get on that tip.
The yoga or whatever.
You better start now.
You better start now.
Got to
start now. Like I said, I've been active with my sons, and it keeps me going. For a minute, I was waking up stretching.
Yeah.
Stretch before I go to sleep. That's probably the best thing. You know what I mean? But because as you get older, you get to wonder, like, am I going to get that belly?
Man, I got it.
Yeah. I got it.
It's here, boss.
Yeah.
It's here, boss.
Am I going to get that belly?
Listen. That fold over your belt. Then cut you under your belt.
No matter what size shirt you
under
wear.
Under your belly roll.
No matter what size shirt you
the
wear.
Belly roll, it jelly roll.
You just start wearing black.
Yeah.
Everything black.
Everything blends in with black. Man, listen, I'm slim, but man, I feel it though. Like, I don't know if I can get a whole lot of extra weight, but dude, yeah, I got a roll.
Nah, be doing push-ups on his show.
He like a buck 80.
Ain't nobody trying. You talking about he got a roll, man.
I got a bank roll.
I got a bank roll. You don't got no belly roll.
Yeah.
He in here
Truth
doing
Nation, let us know.
100 push-ups.
You old or not, let us know. When did you start feeling old?
Yeah.
How did you maintain it? How did you know, keep yourself young?
Hit us up on the chat, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is a very interesting thing.
I mean, we try to find out, though, because I feel like I'm getting old because, you know, the numbers getting up there. But, you know, just being around the kids and the youth, it just, you know, you don't feel like it mentally. You know what I mean? So, and that's another thing, too, when you get mentally old, you know, does it wore you out, wear you out, or...
Yeah, you know, I was just talking about that, man, like to my doctor this morning. And I was like, man, I'm going through something right now. And she was like, yeah, it's a lot of people, you know, a lot of people going through, you know, certain things during this period of time where stress is taking over and it presents brain fog and all that. Yeah, when you get older, man, you start forgetting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go to the refrigerator. Can't remember why
you went to the refrigerator.
Can't remember why you went to the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Leaving out the door without your keys.
Man, that's...
Yeah.
Or the wallet.
Yeah.
I probably ain't seen my wallet in 2 weeks.
I mean, you know it's somewhere.
ain't nobody using it yet, so I know it's around.
Yeah.
But, man.
Yeah, I've done that. You be go 5 minutes with thinking, like, what was I finna do?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a mental old...
Yeah. Yeah, man.
That was just last night. I don't know what my wife sent me downstairs to go get something, like a phone charger off the counter or something.
You went down there, sat down.
Bro, 5 minutes, I'm realizing, what the hell I'm in the garage for? Like, I'm in the garage, dog. Like, why am I down here?
Yeah.
What?
Damn. Yeah.
I mean.
I went, man.
He looking at you right now. Look,
this morning,
I'm like, trying to think about it.
Yeah, this morning, I out, man. The baby is somewhere else in Milwaukee, And I woke up and I was like, I know I'm supposed to be somewhere, take her someplace. I was like, damn, I don't need to do that. But like my thought was, you know, trying to remember where I was supposed to take her. And I didn't have to take her there, but you know, you're always forgetting something.
Yeah.
You always forgetting something though. Especially at this age.
I mean, everybody at this age get to thinking like, you know, you should have it all figured out, even with health, or even just like keeping yourself upbeat, you know.
Yeah.
Keeping the vibe going.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll talk about it more when we come back. 833-212-1017, Truth Nation. Talking old vibes. How y'all feel?
Oh.
Don't go anywhere. What up, y'all? Welcome back to the Tap In on Truth 101.7 FM. It's your boy Ray Nitty filling in for Jazz Tyler today. Shouts out to Meech stepping in, Manon stepping in earlier. We gonna work this out, y'all. We gonna have a good day. We gonna figure it out. Through the fire, right? So it sounded like they had a real good conversation yesterday. I didn't get to catch the show, but I heard it was amazing engagement. So I'm going to make sure I watch it on the playback. You can catch the playback to all of the Truth shows on 101.7 The Truth on YouTube. And you can find us on, what's the website, Zach?
Like the Civic Media website?
Or? Yeah, where they could hear the replays.
1017thetruth.com,
where you can replay it and hear yesterday's conversation with Jazz Tyler and the Tap In crew. Filling in for Jazzy today, once again, get well. So today, we're going to be talking about relationship. It's relationship talk. It's a Tuesday, ain't it Wednesday? It's Wednesday.
It's hump day.
Says, are we talking or just reacting? We just reacting up here. How y'all feeling, man? How y'all feeling? Are we talking or are we just reacting? I'm interested to know what just reacting even means. What does that mean, CC? We should have forced CC to come in here and sit down and answer these relationship questions. A couple of people have been asking about you, too. She like, who?
That's exactly what she said.
Yeah, she's like, who? Come in here, let's talk about it. Come in here, let's talk about it. Man, so opening question to you all. Once again, the number is 833-212-1017. 833-212-1017. Have difficult relationship conversations become harder in today's dating culture? Have difficult relationship conversations become harder in today's dating culture? That's what we want to discuss today. And then we got some more questions that we're going to be getting into, but is it hard to have the difficult conversations in relationships? And what is a difficult conversation? What's a difficult conversation in a relationship? Something like, oh, who's this chick? Is that considered difficult, or is that pretty standard these days? But I think we are in a society right now where everybody communicates differently. And for me, you know, if you listen to the lunch break, you would have heard some of my story, where the examples that I had in the household was, you know, I grew up in an abusive household. So how adults communicated difficult conversations, it didn't look like a positive experience for me. So that shaped how I wanted to communicate or have difficult conversations or not have those conversations, for the lack of better words. I know one thing for me when I was younger,
is, as I stated, I saw a lot of domestic violence and stuff like that. I saw my mom get abused. I saw my dad yell, curse, you know, use violence as a form of communicating how one felt. So for me, I always strived to be completely opposite of that. So for me, in my younger years of dating and whatnot, communicating for difficult conversations looked a little bit different. It looked a little bit different. So because I was somebody that did not like to deal with arguing or yelling or things of that nature, I would just shut down. I would shut down in relationships. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to raise my voice, because I felt like the examples that I saw when people raise their voice, they start raising their hands. So I wasn't communicating. You know, it was like, all right, you know, I'd just be like, all right, cool. All right, cool.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah, straight up. Because you just know where, you have examples in your mind of where hard conversations lead to. And that's not what I wanted for myself or anybody that I was talking to or dating. Now, in me shutting down, now this is just a male's perspective, and me as a male, I can't speak for every man on Truth Nation. But when I shut down, you know, that me thinking because I'm not arguing back, it made me think like, okay, I'm letting you talk. I'm not going to argue with you. You have this space to go ahead and say what you would like to say. And I'm not going to respond because, you know, we see how those things go. But in shutting down, that also didn't fix the problem. In shutting down, it created even more problems, because now it seems as if you're avoiding, or you're not talking to me, and you know, we need to talk to resolve this. And then, so I had to find a healthy median as to like, okay, how do you express the emotions that you are dealing with? How do you go about saying the things you need to say in a manner to where it is received and it doesn't come off as if you're being aggressive and so forth? So I had to work on that. And I'm still working on it, because I still prefer not to argue or indulge in any kind of, you know, violent conversations or misunderstandings or things of that nature. 833-212-1017. 833-212-1017. Right now we are asking the question, how difficult relationship conversations become harder, have difficult relationship conversations become harder in today's dating culture? And today's dating culture is very, very interesting. I hear they say what the young people be saying, the dating pool got pee in it or something like that is what they be saying. Oh, that's not young. You haven't heard that one yet either. So maybe that's still my era. Maybe that's still my. You haven't heard that one, CeCe?
Say the saying again.
They say the dating pool got pee in it.
Y'all, she said it got that? Diarrhea in it.
Diarrhea is crazy.
Is that
from a personal experience, CeCe?
Sounds like it.
Sounds like it. But damn, Sierra. Oh man. I apologize. But yeah, man, today's dating culture is extremely interesting, in my opinion. And thank God I ain't dating right now. I'll say that too. Thank God I'm not in the dating. I've been married for going on, man, about to be 15 years. Aww. 15 years, man. I haven't had to deal with the dating pool. Is that how they do it? The little hearts like that?
No, they do it like this now.
That looked like GD. What is that, Meech? But yeah, man, dating for me, I haven't had to date. So what is the dating pool like out there, y'all? What is the dating pool like? What are people presenting these days to the dating table? You see all of these different blogs and conversations on how they want somebody to approach them, or what's the one thing they say? Oh, you can't take me to Cheesecake Factory for the first date. It'd be like, Cheesecake Factory is not an acceptable place to take somebody on a first date. So I'm like, all right, the conversation is acceptable. Sierra say, okay, Cheesecake is cool. So I'm like, we already starting off having difficult conversations if you don't even want Cheesecake Factory. I think we got to manage our expectations better. I'm not saying lower our standards or lower your standards by any means. I'm just saying, let's be realistic with some of the things that we ask of people. And then, like, don't ask of people things that you wouldn't ask of yourself. So, yeah, we want to know, man, how are you handling difficult conversations? I know they was talking about password sharing and things of that nature. How do you deal with that difficult conversation when she says, hey, you know what? Let me get your password to your phone. You giving up your phone password, Zach?
Depends who it is. It depends what she needs to look at.
No, just
basically no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, you're not doing it.
You're gonna get upset.
Yeah. So my wife got my password, but that's not because she's like, I need to have your password. Like, my phone be locked, and sometimes my phone is used for, you know, the parties that we throw at the crib. So it'd be like, oh, the code to unlock it is XYZ if you need to change the song. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, you could do that, but you're not going to go snooping.
Yeah, it's not just like, oh, yeah, I got to have that because without that, there's no trust. And it's people in relationships like that, though. It's people in relationships like that that feel like, if I don't have access to everything that you're doing, then I can't trust you. And do you need to have access to somebody's private messages or life in order to be trusted in a relationship? How are we dealing with those difficult conversations in relationships? That's what we're talking about today. Then we got we got Kathy. Kathy, how you doing? We're talking about no password.
I'm doing great. I'm going to tell you something about passwords, and what this gentleman just said, I understand that him and his wife is doing a business, they're running stuff, and you're married. But anybody to demand your password, checking account, password to a phone, you know, they can skip me. Matter of fact, we don't have to even date anymore, talk anymore. We're not even going to be friends. Keep your nose out of other people's business. If you're that insecure, see a psychiatrist and stop bullying people, and domestic violence starts from there, okay? You don't need nobody else's stuff, and I don't want no one to tell me, well, you don't give it to me. That's because of so-and-so. No, I don't look at your mail and open it up when the mailman comes, don't look at mine. I mean, what are you afraid of? If you're afraid someone is messing with someone else or seeing someone else or trying something else out, maybe you need to move on. But there's a lot of people, it's like bullying people or domestic violence. You're starting to own me. You don't own me, and I don't want to hear about the insecurities. Well, if you love me, you this, you show it to me. Well, first of all, if we loved each other, we'd be married to each other, okay? Let's just get real with each other. I don't want to explain nothing about a password to me, and somebody asks me about it, I'm going to look at them like, I know you didn't just say that. Don't be giving people your stuff. Young folks don't give your information out. You're going to have plenty of love, and they don't need to have all your damn information. God bless you.
God,
stand up for yourself.
God bless you, Kathy. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. You are a member of the Truth Nation. Yeah, she said, we ain't giving you no passwords. You don't need no passwords to love me. Don't go anywhere, y'all. We need to get tapped in a little bit more in this conversation. You are live on Truth 101.7 FM.
Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back, Truth Nation, to the Tap In on Truth 101.7 FM, located in downtown Milwaukee in 3rd Street Market Hall, live from the American Family Insurance Studios. Speaking of American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth. For almost 100 years, they've been committed to helping families protect what matters most. Your home, your vehicle, and the dreams you're building every single day. And if you're a part of The Truth audience, you already know you work hard for yours. That's why having the right protection in place matters. American Family helps you stay ready for whatever life brings, so you can focus on moving forward. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. How y'all doing, man? We back live, man. Is it, I wonder if they got relationship insurance.
I don't think so.
I feel like something you should be able to, look, we giving American Family some game, man. Figure out what the framework look like for relationship insurance, because it sounds like it's needed in this dating culture. But we talking about a few questions here. I got another topic here. Bring this up, y'all. We talking about relationships. I guess yesterday they were giving, and once again, if you need to watch back, visit us on 101.7 The Truth on YouTube to watch back what they were talking about yesterday on the Tap In with Ms. Jazz Tyler. Next question we have is, do people communicate their feelings or do they expect their partner to read between the lines? That's a good one. Do people communicate their feelings or do they expect their partner to read between the lines? I could see a couple different scenarios playing out with this, right? I do feel like you hear women say men don't ever communicate their feelings. They don't ever show the emotions that's needed in order for women to understand. And, you know, men expect women to read between the lines. Whereas, you know, we may hear that women are way more vocal about how they feel and expressing themselves in relationships and so forth. And, you know, I don't know if people are still just communicating how they truly feel, right? And it's one thing, like, I do think we have an issue with, we want to communicate our feelings so much that when a man finally is communicating his feelings and being vocal and not shutting down, oftentimes, I'm not going to say all the time, oftentimes men feel like they aren't being listened to. They feel unheard. They feel like, all right, like, you want me to be this, you want me to speak and speak up, and now I'm sharing, but you're not hearing. You're just listening to respond to me to be like, oh, blah, 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 and discredit whatever it is that I was probably once holding in for a long time, and now I'm finally letting it out, and you didn't even take the time to really listen to it properly. So I think it's two things with that. Yes, one, we aren't communicating our feelings properly. And two, when people finally become vulnerable enough to communicate their problems, they aren't granted that space and grace to be heard. It's often a quick, you know what I mean? It's often a quick jump back as to, oh, well, this. Well, this is the end. All right. Are we communicating or are we just arguing? And I think a lot of times it just be a lot of arguments. What's y'all thoughts out there? 833-212-1017. We just heard
from Miss Kathy when we were talking about, you know, does somebody need your passwords and stuff to show trust in relationships? And she said, no, that's controlling. And I agree. That's very uncontrolling. It feels kind of prison-like, if you ask me. But that may also stem from a level of trauma they may have experienced in their previous relationship that has made them insecure about, you know, other people's phones and so forth, because maybe the last person did something. And I know we'll say, well, don't project that on me. That's what the last person did. So, yeah, we're having a good time here, y'all, having some questions. What is this next one we have? Next topic is taking space after an argument healthy, or can it create more confusion? So that's kind of like what we was just talking about. I'll ask it one more time. Is taking space after an argument healthy, or can it create more confusion? And I'm going to go out on a limb and say, when they say taking space, they're referring to, like, after you argue, then somebody in the argument decides to hold that space and I'm assuming prove their point. I think that's how this is framed. So is taking space after an argument healthy, or can it create more confusion? I think if you are taking that space to respond and show that, okay, I was listening to you and I heard you and I understand you and I'm going to implement changes to some of these things we communicated about or argued about. If you're just taking up space in an argument just to be trying to hammer down your point, or you just completely ignored what the other person was talking about. And it's like, or, you know, what people like to do is be like, oh yeah, I hear you, but like, I hear you, but I ain't listening to you. That's really what, when I hear you, but, and that's what it sounds like to me, in my opinion. But is taking space after an argument healthy, or is it just create more issues? I think it depends how you show up in that space. Like I said, if you show up like you're understanding, you're really trying to get to a resolve in the argument, you're not trying to keep it going, you're not trying to just dig and keep digging, but you're really trying to listen and understand and get to a resolve so we could move forward harmoniously, then yeah, take that space up. But if you just taking the space up to just be, I don't know, mad, angry, spiteful, you know, just to say something else hurtful, you know, we like to do that a lot too. As humans, not just we as men or we as black people, just we as humans. In an argument, we like to take up space in an argument just so we can say some other hurtful things because we may feel a way. And if we would just slow down a second to just listen to one another, we might be able to understand each other a little bit more and have more healthy conversations that don't lead to domestic violence, that doesn't lead to people putting their hands on each other, that doesn't lead to the conversations of like, well, women just need to keep them hands to themselves. Like, yeah, that's sure. As men, we got to control ourselves, though. Like, we got to control ourselves. We have to control ourselves. I don't give men passes for being like, well, she hit me first. That's weak.
That's some sucker behavior.
That's weak to me, man. She hit me first. Women need to keep their head, like, shut up, bro.
And Call me what you want to call me, but if you hit me, you put your hands on me, I'm calling the cops. Simple as that.
Yeah,
catch this charge.
That's what we should be doing. Or we figure out a way to stay calm and defuse the situation. But a lot of people don't have that right now, especially in today's dating society. You be seeing dudes literally fist fight they women in because of argument. And she done said, that's why you, yo, whatever, little. And she trying to say the most hurtful. Now he embarrassed. And now he like, now he embarrassed. He got to go upside her head. E. Wright in the chat says, space is absolutely necessary. Sometimes you need space to collect your thoughts, calm down, or just get away from the person who just pissed us off. Okay, so they're looking, I think E is looking at taking up space as just space to be still. Not even to respond or re-engage with the argument. Just space to be away from whatever that conversation was, whatever that argument was that had emotions high. And she's like, okay, space is definitely necessary. So yeah, I could agree with that then. If you're taking space like, yo, I'm finna go by the lake for a second. I need some space to calm down and breathe. Yeah, for sure. Take that space. Take that space for sure. We got a couple more questions, y'all. We got a couple more questions about this relationship thing, this black love thing, man, on this hump day. When we come back, I want to get into the question, what's the difference between making a mistake and showing a pattern of behavior? That's a good one. Don't go anywhere. You are live with the Tap In. I'm your boy, Ray Nitty, filling in for Jazz Tyler. What up, y'all? What up, y'all? Welcome back. I'm your boy, Ray Nitty, filling in for Jazz Tyler on the Tap In on the Truth 101.7 FM in the American Family Insurance Studio. I got time today. We're talking about relationships, y'all. Talking about relationships and a whole bunch of real good questions and topics. Before we went to break, I gave y'all the question. I'll give it to you again so we can continue the conversation. What's the difference between making a mistake, my accent slipped out, my bad, and showing a pattern of behavior? What is the difference between a mistake and somebody showing a pattern of behavior? This is also a good question. A mistake or behavior? I just slept with her on accident. That was a mistake. Is that a mistake? I don't know if that's a mistake. It's a pretty big mistake. Or, okay, let's not go that dramatic, right? Let's take flirting. You know, they'd be like, oh, you know, you a little bit flirtatious or whatever. Is that a mistake or is that a pattern? Or are we more so talking about like, okay, a mistake is man, you never know what a mistake is or what a pattern is with women these days, man. What's a mistake you made, Zach? He like, I don't make mistakes.
I plead the fifth.
That's a real good answer. That is a real good answer. 833-212-1017. We'd love to hear some of your mistakes or some of the patterns that you may have noticed. I guess some people would say a pattern I'm trying to think of some patterns I've heard people discuss, right? Maybe, okay, here we go. Coming home late at night, right? If it's like 3:30 in the morning, you know, you was out with the homies or out with, you know, just out in general. You was out. You could be with homies. You could be with colleagues. You could be whatever. You come home at 3:45, 4 o'clock. Birds chirping. You know, when you come home and the birds chirping, it's like, all right, you almost start to prepare yourself for some sort of conversation. Like, the birds are out. The birds are out chirping. Did you make it home too late? But yeah, last night I stayed to the studio till like 3:30. I got home.
Help me with my DJ equipment.
Yeah, you know, I was out till 3:30, was editing some drops for me and Shannon on the lunch break. Then I started messing with some beats and music and so forth. And I look up and, you know, it's a little later than I anticipated. So that's, I don't even know if that's a mistake. That's just like, I'm working. But for some people, that could be a mistake, right?
The mistake would have been you not communicating that you're going to be late or where you were going or just like ahead of time. Like just not communicating, I think, would have been the mistake.
Sure. That's actually a great example. So putting exactly what Zach said into context, right? I had class of instruction for my Masonic Lodge last night. And class got out a little earlier than usual. Usually we could be in class till 10 o'clock, 10:30, depending on how class is that day. But we got out at like 8:30. And I did communicate, hey, I'm about to go to the studio over at the building and, you know, just get creative for a bit. It's been a while since I was able to get creative. So I'll go scratch that itch. So I communicated that, right? So yeah, I agree. If I would not have communicated that and then stayed out until 3:45 in the morning, birds chirping, that's a mistake, right? How many times is that a mistake before it becomes a pattern? That's what I want to know. How many mistakes do you get before it turns into a pattern?
Or you ever play baseball?
I play. That's my sport.
Three strikes you out?
That's my sport, man. All conference player of the year. Three strikes you out. What if you foul it off? What if you foul ball? What if you got like 6 fouls in a row? I know you've seen them before. Some real good hitters, man. Some real disciplined hitters, man.
We weren't supposed to take it literal.
Manana says social media has become a cesspool of domestic violence also. But when there was social media, there was a lot of domestic violence. I think he went to say when there wasn't social media, there was a lot of domestic violence that were being unreported. That's true. Still a bunch of domestic violence that's being unreported today. And it could be recorded and still not be reported. How many times you seen somebody pull out their phone at some, you know, guy beating his or communicating poorly?
I was going to say, people aren't pulling out their phones to report it. They're pulling out their phones to record it.
To record it. I'm like, you might as well put hands on them too then. You might as well join in.
But then you got the people that say, oh, that's none of my business.
But why you recording it? Why you record it? If it's none of your business, why you want it? Why you want it? And now you own it in your phone. You're going to post it online. You're going to humiliate somebody that you didn't help because you want a few likes. You know, you want to. And the crazy part is it'd be a lot of men recording them videos, too. That'd be the crazy part. A lot of men be recording those videos and laughing while recording. Not intervening, not saying, hey, man, chill out. Like, don't do that. It ain't worth it. Laughing. You feel me? Not me, though. I'm the intervener. I'm the one that's gonna jump in and be like, hey, bro, one, it's way better ways to handle your emotions. Two, let's not make this a physical thing, man, because I'm 42 now and I don't know how strong I am no more. And I don't want to find out that I just don't got it like I once thought I did. So let's not even take it there. Let's not even take it there. Next question. Next topic, y'all. We're going to keep it moving and keep it moving. And yeah, we're going to add that one to the hot cues. Keep it moving. And how do you rebuild trust after a significant disagreement? That's an interesting question. How do you rebuild trust after a significant disagreement? Because I don't necessarily think that trust is gone or needs to be rebuilt just because you disagreed on something. We could disagree on something and I still not trust you. You like, and I can still trust you. Like, I could disagree with somebody. Like I don't think King is that good of a school, but I would still trust that person.
Debatable.
You know what? Double ding that. Never trust somebody that went to King. Now, if they said, I went to Madison, like, all right, I'll still trust that person.
Yeah, but if they went to King, I'm going to need a full background check.
Man, background check. You need to get wanded for a wire, all types of stuff. Can't trust them generals, man. But we going to get more into that topic. When do you, what was the question? When do you forgive? We'll get back to it. Don't go anywhere on the Truth 101.7 FM.